Thank you to New Balance for sponsoring today's episode. No matter your activity and no matter your reason, New Balance running shoes are here to support your movement. With shoes like the Fuel Cell Supercomp Elite V3, which is built for race day, or their Fresh Foam More V4, giving you a new kind of runner's high, New Balance believes that if you run, you're a runner, and the only right way to run is your way. Head to newbalance.com to shop the full assortment and find the shoe that's just right for you. Welcome to Who What Wear with Hillary Kerr, your direct line to the designers, stylists, beauty experts, editors, and tastemakers who are shaping the ever-evolving world of fashion. I'm your host, Hillary Kerr, and today I'm speaking with the stylist, wardrobe specialist, and content creator, Allison Bornstein. If you follow Allison on Instagram or TikTok, you may have already come across her brilliant content outlining how to optimize your style and your closet. She's here to walk us through some of those frameworks, including her signature closet editing system, the three-word method for defining your style, and how to determine when you should hold on to or move on from items you're just not sure about in your own closet. It's all coming up on Who What Wear. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I am such a big fan. It's really incredible what you've built. It's like, it's amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Well, the Who What Wear team is hugely fond of you, I have to say. I mentioned that I was interviewing you when I was in the office the other day, and everyone was like, oh, she's so cool. She's so cool. She's so cool. So just so you know, the feeling is most mutual.
That makes me feel very, very good. Thank you.
Yay. Okay, good. So, Allison, welcome to the show. For anyone who doesn't know, you are a brilliant stylist, wardrobe specialist, and content creator. You make some of my favorite content, period, making you the perfect expert to tap to discuss spring cleaning and wardrobe refreshing. So let's start with the fact that one of your signature systems that you've created and implement with clients is the five-step closet clean out. So could you explain that for anyone who hasn't spent hours watching all of your content like me?
Yes. So I created this closet editing system because I realized in working with clients that a lot of the dissatisfaction with our wardrobes and a lot of overconsumption, I think, came from the fact that we didn't really understand what was in our closets, and therefore we didn't really understand our style. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to create a system that was like a little bit psychological, a little bit creative, but then also was effective in organizing and editing a closet. So like you said, it's five steps, and I like to think that it's fun is maybe a strong word, but I think that it's illuminating. It shouldn't be painful.
Fun if you're a Virgo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And hopefully you sort of like gain some information on the way that you shop and the way that you dress and all of those patterns. So, okay, the five steps. The first thing that I ask clients to do is to go into their closet and pull out all of the things that they wear all the time. I call these the regulars. So these are not the things that you love the most in your closet. These aren't the things that you feel that you wish you wore the most. These are the things that you are truly wearing every day, like the things on repeat. I say do this with your clothing, do it with shoes, do it with accessories, and take all of those things and put them on a clothing rack, on your bed, on the floor. Just take them out of the context of your closet. So that's step one, pretty easy. I usually feel like this is very illuminating for people because when you look in your closet, there's usually like a lot of shit there. But when you really take out the things that you actually wear, it becomes very clear what you're gravitating to. So that's step one.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Within that, I feel like I go through phases with different things. So are you talking about overall, like over the past year, over the past 6 months, or over like a narrower section, like the past 3 months?
If you have all of your seasons, like all the clothes for all the seasons together, I say do everything at once. So I guess like everything that you've been wearing for the year.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so step one, obviously these things are things that are going to stay in your wardrobe. So step two is I want you to do the opposite. I want you to go into your closet and I want you to pull out the things that you never wear. So these are things that maybe don't fit you right now, things that you don't like, things that you do like, but you still don't wear. And I want you to put these someplace separate. This pile will feel a lot more disjointed than the regulars. The regulars, I feel like, usually kind of tell a story of who you are and what you wear and what you gravitate towards. These feel maybe like a little bit more random. Okay, so that's step two. Step three is you're going to want to look at these nevers. You're going to want to look at these things that you never wear, and we are going to categorize them into three piles. The first pile is no. These are just things that you do not like wearing, don't spark joy, you know? So those things, put them in a box or a bag or someplace where you can donate them or sell them. Just get those out of there. The second pile is called not now. This is like evening wear, vacation, things that you don't wear all the time, but not because you don't like it. It's just things that you don't necessarily need it in your closet, but you don't want to get rid of it. So these things I want you to put into another closet or a suitcase or a box, or sometimes I'll even have clients, if they have like a smaller space, just like zip them up into garment bags and put them on the side. These are not things that you want to look at when you open up your closet all the time.
Okay.
So those go away. And then the third pile from the nevers, these are things that you never wear, but you love. Things that you want to wear, but you don't know how to style. These are things we kind of want to reincorporate or incorporate for the first time into our wardrobe. So we have the no's, the not nows, and the hows.
Got it.
So step four is we are going to take these how pieces, the pieces that we love, but we don't know how to style, and we want to bring them into our regulars. I call the regulars the safe space and the hows are the wild cards. I want you to try to pair these how pieces, these statement pieces, these question mark pieces with the things that you wear all the time. Because I find that often when we have something new or something a little bit out of our comfort zone, we'll try to create a whole look based around the funky piece instead of just kind of bringing that into what we wear all the time. So this is the part of the process where we revive these how pieces and bring them into our life. And I tell clients to take pictures to kind of lay out ideas and outfits, you know, using the how pieces and the regulars. So that's step four. And then step five, I want you to go back into your closet, and in there, you'll probably have some kind of neutral pieces. But now that you kind of have a good sense of what you're wearing all the time and what you want to wear and what you like to wear, I think you can kind of go back into the closet and maybe be a little bit stricter with yourself and re-edit some of those things. Okay, so we have the neutral pieces left in our closet. The no's are gone. We have the not now's out of the closet. And we have the how's sort of paired with the regulars. So now I want you to bring in the how's and the regulars, and I want you to organize the closet by category and by color. Hopefully your closet is now filled with things that you like, that you know how to style, and that feel genuine to you. And I like to organize by category and color for a few reasons. First of all, it looks great, but also because I know that getting dressed can be really shitty and not fun. So I think that if you create a space that feels beautiful and aesthetically pleasing and reflects who you are and it feels safe, I think that you are so much more inclined to be creative and to be excited to get dressed in the morning if you have a closet that reflects you and that looks, you know, visually pleasing. So that's pretty much the system.
I love it.
Thank you.
So what do you do with people who are fashion people who might want to hold on to things because they're like, oh, I know this will come back? Because I feel that all the time where it's like, okay, there was a period no one was wearing a motorcycle jacket. Now motorcycle jackets then came back. I was like, thank goodness I still have my little ones, my big ones, my whatever. So we do know that there is some of this cyclical nature to fashion. How do you think about that piece of it where it's like, okay, well, my client works in fashion or loves fashion. There are some things that are not as of the moment. Are those just not nows?
Yeah, those can be not nows. Absolutely. I love a system. And so I have another system for that. I have three questions to ask yourself when you're not sure if you should keep something or if you should sell it. I call it like the timeless versus trendy questions. And what you should ask yourself is, number one, did I want to wear this piece last year? Because I think that that just sort of helps you understand, like, when was the last time I wore this shrunken motorcycle jacket? The second question you want to ask yourself is, do I think I'm going to want to wear this next year? sometimes it's hard to say, but it just sort of gets you thinking about the piece. And then the third is the most important question. And I ask, if this style does come back around, will I want to pull out this exact motorcycle jacket or will I want to buy something new? You know what I mean? It's like, it's different for everybody. I think I have some clients where I'm like, listen, I'm looking at your wardrobe right now. If this style comes back, you're going to want the updated one. You know, you're going to want something new. You're not necessarily going to want this shrunken motorcycle jacket from 15 years ago. So I feel like it's just good to get people thinking about that. I like saving things, especially like jackets and bags. I also, my approach with closet editing and with clients, I like to think I'm quite gentle. I don't think that like you have to get rid of things. And I don't think that there's like a specific amount of pieces that you need to have. And I don't think that everybody needs to be super minimal. I think it's good to be gentle and soft with ourselves and not make this a process of like, you must get rid of that. I think it's okay to keep some things around. And maybe you'll never wear it again, but it's okay. If you have space, you can keep it.
Got it. Okay. So I am someone who is rather sentimental and I have my own personal process if I'm having a hard time deciding whether or not to get rid of something. But I'm curious about what your advice is if someone is feeling difficulty about parting with certain pieces.
I had a client do something that I thought was really smart, and she had a bag in her closet. She had some pieces that she would always try on but never worked. So when she would try it on and they didn't work and she wouldn't end up wearing it, she would put it in the bag. When the bag became full, she would go through, sort of reassess and be like, okay, can I make this thing work? Again, to give herself like a little space in the closet where you don't have to see it, but you almost feel like it's not an option right now.
Yeah. Because there's nothing more frustrating than when you keep trying on the same thing over and over again and can't figure it out and you just get annoyed with it. So it's like, give yourself a break. So once you've gone through all of this work and you've done all of this clean out, do you have any best practices when it comes to selling or donating any of these clothes or accessories? Like what's worth it? What's not?
Yes. I sell some stuff on the RealReal. Also, just local consignment stores, I feel like usually give a very good percentage. And sometimes that's sort of fun to like bring something to the consignment store. I always think that that's good. And especially if it's like someplace local. I also like to donate things to Goodwill. Those are my main donation spots.
I would say the other thing I have randomly found, Facebook has a lot of communities that are like buy nothing, whatever. So if like you have the time and patience for that, you can also get things out locally, which I also always really have liked.
That's a really good resource too.
It's the only reason I still have a Facebook account, I swear. Okay, so we have hypothetically done this clean out phase. And now it's time for a little refreshing. So This plays into another system that you've developed to help clients define and refine their style. And it's internet famous as well, the three-word method. And I love that you apply it to home decor. I love that you apply it to closets. It can be applied to so many different things. So can you talk about this method a little bit and how our listeners can implement the system themselves?
Okay, so the three-word method is essentially distilling your style into three adjectives. And because we did that closet editing system already, we've already done a lot of the work. The way that we find our three words is the first word I call the practical word. And the way you're going to find this word is you're going to look at those closet regulars that you pulled out in step one, and you are going to ask yourself, how would I describe these things? Is there a specific silhouette or color or vibe that I would use? And maybe you realize that the word is casual and you're not so happy with that word. Don't worry. We can shift. We can evolve. We can change. So the first word is a practical word. You find that by looking at your regulars. The second word I call the aspirational word. And you find this word by looking at your Pinterest board, your screenshots. This is kind of your North Star. This is like your guiding word. So let's say, like we said, you're looking at your closet regulars and you're like, okay, a lot of this stuff is very casual. But then you're looking at your Pinterest or your Instagram saved folder and you're like, wow, a lot of the things that I am attracted to or a lot of the style that I'm pinning and saving is very sophisticated. So great. Two words, casual and sophisticated. And then the third word is what I call the emotional word. And that is where you want to ask yourself, how do I want to feel in my clothing? What do I want to tell people with my look? So maybe you want to feel sexy or powerful or polished or put together. So those are the three words, the practical word, the aspirational word, and the emotional word. And then when you have these three words, they become like a guide for you. So when you're shopping or when you're getting dressed, you just kind of keep these words in mind. Let's say you're getting dressed and your look feels a little bit off balance. Let's say that your look feels too casual. Maybe you want to say, okay, how can I add my sophisticated word in here? What can I do to make this look feel more sophisticated? So it really just kind of is like a nice checklist.
So can you give some like real life examples of words that you have used to describe a client's style and the pieces that correlate with them so that folks can have sort of like a more illustrated idea of this concept?
Absolutely. So for example, I worked with a client that had a lot of blazers and trousers and very structured bags and loafers. So we said that one of her words was tailored, but she was very much trying to add a little bit more like femininity into her look. So we said, okay, maybe we have tailored and soft. And she also, because she was kind of drawn to such menswear inspired pieces, she was like, I kind of want to add a little bit of sexiness in there. So we said that she was tailored, soft, and sexy. Other words we were considering when we were looking through her regulars were sharp or menswear inspired or classic. Another example is I had a client and in her regulars we're like, okay, literally almost everything you have here has a floral print. So we were like, okay, maybe a word like floral or romantic or sweet, you know, so you really just want to pick words that obviously describe what you're seeing or describe what you want to see, but also a word that feels good to you and feels true to you. And like I said, this doesn't have to be for anybody else. This can just be for you. So let's say for me, I want to feel sexy. Sexy for me might be very different from sexy for somebody else. These are really for you. They're personal.
So you don't have to like tattoo them on your forehead.
You don't have to tattoo them anywhere unless you want to. My cousin is really funny. She said that at work, one of her coworkers was like, I'm like really struggling to figure out my three words. And she was like, it's not that serious. You can change them. And I'm like, you're right. It's not that serious. It's meant to help. It's not meant to be stressful or serious or anything. Just truly meant to give you like a little checklist or a little guide.
I feel like it's not that serious is the most Gen Z phrase.
Well, she is. Yes.
It's the mantra. It's not that serious. It's not yes. that serious. I love it. It's true. Okay. So just for the sake of further illuminating this concept for our listeners, I would like to name some style icons and was hoping that you could give me three words that you think represent their personal style. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's start with Zendaya.
Okay. Zendaya, one of her words is graphic for sure. She does a lot of cutouts. I feel like she plays with shapes in a very interesting way. So graphic, I would say daring. She takes a lot of fashion risks. And I feel like that's really part of her style and part of her brand. So graphic, daring. And lastly, I would say elegant. It always feels very elevated, very sophisticated. Obviously, like super modern and current, but there is that elegance there. She is in command and in control of the clothes. So graphic, daring, elegant.
Amazing. What about Ashley Olsen?
Ashley Olsen, I think definitely oversized, refined, and minimal. And I think that Ashley's words are also very similar with the words that I would use to describe the row, you know, right? Yeah. Like very oversized, very refined, and then, yeah, minimal.
Yeah. Personification of quiet luxury.
100%.
What about Harry Styles, who is a different swing in this pendulum?
A different vibe, yes. I think Harry Styles, definitely 70s. He loves like a 70s silhouette for sure. And I feel like that's obviously influenced by Gucci, but 70s. Textured. I think he plays a lot with texture. Even if it's just his hair, it always feels like there's something dynamic happening there. So 70s textured. And last, I would say soft. I think that even though there is that texture and that 70s tailoring, there's always a softness to the things he wears, a soft color, like a scarf. So yeah, 70s textured, soft.
And last, but certainly not least, what about Rihanna?
Certainly not least. Rihanna, I love so much. I think that there is a toughness to a lot of the things that she wears. Maybe edgy would be another word, or sharp, but I like tough. I feel like it always feels like it is a statement. It feels like a punch, like it feels bold. Mm-hmm. So tough, sexy. I think that she is incredible at creating a look that feels really sexy, but then also her third word, sporty. It feels sexy, but casual. So tough, sexy, sporty.
Oh, that's so fun. Okay, so since you've seen so many wardrobes and have done this so much, what are some of the basics that you think everyone should own, regardless of their style? Like some of those universal crowd pleasers.
Yes. Okay, number one, a great pair of jeans that fits well and that you love. And I know that that is one of the hardest things to find. I think you just need one pair. I think you need one pair of jeans that you're like, okay, I know that I'm going to put these on and I'm going to feel incredible. I'm going to feel comfortable. And I know that they go with everything. It's asking a lot, but it's incredibly important. So great pair of jeans. I used to say a white t-shirt, and I think that's still very important, but I know that some people have a hard time with t-shirts. So I'm just going to say like a good neutral base layer, whether it's a white t-shirt or a tank top or a bodysuit, just something that, again, you put on, you feel great. So denim, base layer. I know that like a lot of the capsule wardrobes will be like, you need a great white button down. I think button downs are really great, but I don't think it has to be white. I don't think it has to be cotton. I think that just having like a good button down that you could wear open with like your bodysuit or tank top underneath, or you could button up and tuck the front into your jeans. I feel like it's nice to have that piece that you can kind of use as an overlayer or a shirt. I do not like a stiff cotton button down. It doesn't really feel like my style. And I've bought a million because I feel like I always had to have one, but I realized that's really not what I wear. Like I go for maybe like a silky black button down. Like that's my go-to. Or maybe somebody else likes a linen shirt or a denim shirt. But I do think like having a good button down is great. And of course, I'm going to say a blazer or a tailored jacket that you could put on with your jeans or your t-shirt and just feels sharp and elevates the look.
I love that. And it's true. It's just like that third layer makes all the difference.
It's everything. I think that if you spend money on nothing else, I think like a great jacket, like you said, yeah, you put on that third layer and it elevates everything.
So can we talk about proportions for a minute? Because
yes.
I feel like that's also something that gets tricky, because for the last few years, I feel like there's been more playing with proportion sizes. There's been a lot of really oversized things and folks feeling like, okay, well, it feels like it's bodycon or it's super oversized and I don't feel comfortable in either of those. How do you create something that feels cohesive and balanced and still aesthetically pleasing while playing with proportion?
That's such a good question. So let's say that you are really interested in exploring this oversized trend, but you're petite or you're just not super comfortable wearing oversized things. I would start with, let's say, like an oversized blazer, okay? And don't style it with like big Gen Z wide leg pants. Style it with like your favorite jeans. Like style it with your skinny jeans. Style it with your straight leg jeans. Style it with something that you feel comfortable with. And then with the oversized blazer, I would like push up the sleeves, or I think sometimes we'll put on pieces and we'll just sort of stand there and we'll feel like the proportions aren't working. But I feel like we need to like live in it. We need to zhuzh it. Even just like with, let's say, like a big oversized sweater, for example. When you just put it on, I don't know, let's say like it comes around to your thigh and it's just sort of hanging there, it doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel like what we're used to. So maybe you want to tuck in the front, you want to push up the sleeves. I feel like a lot of proportions can really come from those very, very small tweaks.
Yeah.
But another thing, I feel like people have a hard time right now with denim and kind of the new silhouette, the wider leg silhouette. I think that for people that want to play with that wider leg silhouette and us millennials who are kind of used to the skinny leg, I would maybe try something that is maybe a little bit more fitted at the top and then flares out, or something that's maybe like a little bit more straight leg.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. That's what I think. I think baby steps. And one other thing, I think oftentimes when we try something new in terms of proportions, we'll put it on and it won't look how we always look. Like it will feel unfamiliar.
You have to train your own eye.
Yes. Yes. We'll be like, this is wrong. This like doesn't look right. And so we just take it off and we're like, ugh, okay, baggy jeans look horrible on me. But it's like, well, just wait a sec. Try it on with some of your favorite tops. Try it on with your favorite shoes. Like really like live in it. Look in the mirror a few times. Like give yourself a little time and space to get used to it. Because you're right. Yeah, you have to train your own eye or else it can feel really abrupt or just like, again, like wrong.
This is partially why, no shade to brick and mortar, but why I like online shopping so much is yes. because I enjoy having my entire closet at my fingertips to work with whatever that new piece is. Because sometimes I have that idea. I'm like, oh, this would be perfect with those shoes. And then you get it home and you're like, oh, that's not perfect with those shoes. Like, what was I thinking? Or when I'm trying to play with a new silhouette for me, and if I have the luxury of this, I will wear it for a couple of hours during the day.
Yes.
Maybe I don't like it right off the bat, but I try some different things and I sit in it for a minute and all of a sudden I'm like, no, I actually really like this. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Or conversely, no, I don't.
100%. I always tell clients to do that exact thing that you're saying. Live in it. Because also sometimes you'll love it and then you'll sit and you're like, wait, this is really uncomfortable. Or actually, I love these pants, but I don't have any shoes that go with it. So I do think it is very helpful to, you're right, order online and try things on with the things that you already have. Because at the end of the day, it's like the pieces that you buy, you're adding them to your collection. So you want them to work with the things that you already have.
And you don't want to buy a standing dress, Mm-mm. which is a dress that only looks good when you're standing.
Hell no. Or sitting shoes. No, it's really important to like be comfortable.
Okay. So speaking of shopping, where are some of your personal favorite places to shop?
I mean, I'm a big online shopper, but I like to discover in stores.
Because you can't tell material always.
Exactly. And some things that you'll like pass right by online will actually catch your eye in the store. So I'm a Midwestern girl. I love a department store and I love a mall. Like I love having a lot of options. So I like to make shopping an experience. Like I like to put on my headphones and really walk around, look at things more than once, try things, touch things, feel things. So I like a place where there's a lot of options. I know that can be overwhelming for some people, but I really like to like immerse myself. So I love a department store. And then when I actually buy things, I agree with what you said before. I love to shop online so then I can bring it into my space and actually try things on and make sure that I feel comfortable and that it goes with the rest of my wardrobe. Also vintage, of course. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't shop that much at The RealReal online, but The RealReal store, the one in LA and the one in New York, I love. I think it's so fun. It's so fun for discovering stuff. The men's RealReal store in LA, I've gotten so many incredible blazers there.
Really?
Hot tip. Yeah.
Thank you. I like that. It's right by our office. So I will take you up on that idea.
Yes. Yes.
So I have my own personal calculations that I make when I am standing in a dressing room or paused before entering my memorized credit card online of deciding, like, is this worth a purchase or not? Do you have any suggestions on what the calculation should be if someone is trying to decide whether or not to get something?
Absolutely. And obviously, I have a method for it.
Of course.
So, okay. I have what I call my 7 shopping questions. They're quick. Question number 1, do I get a deep down full body yes when I see this item? So basically, like, do I like this? I think sometimes we'll buy things that we think that we like should have. But honestly, if this is no, then we can stop asking the rest of the questions. You have to really like the thing. Our wardrobe is our space that we have control over. We don't have to let things in if we do not like them. So 2, will this make getting dressed easier? Like, is this something that I'm missing? Is this something that I think will make the process easier? 3, do I already have something that serves the same purpose? And if so, when would I wear this over the other thing? So for example, let's use a blazer. I have a bunch of black blazers, but when I am looking to buy a new one, I ask myself, when would I wear this over the one that's already in my closet? And sometimes it's like, oh, I would wear this totally differently than the one that I have. But I think it's a good thing to sort of pause and think about, like, do I really need this thing? Will this really serve a new purpose? 4, would I be willing to give up something that I have in my wardrobe in order to have this piece?
I tried to institute a one in, one out policy. It's going so-so, but it's a good exercise.
It is. And I'm not strict with myself or with clients with one in, one out, but I just think it's something good to consider.
Yeah.
5, and this is a huge one, and this is a mistake that I used to make all the time. 5 is, well, I have to purchase something else in order to wear this.
Oh.
So if I bought a pair of jeans and like you said, you bring them home and you're like, all the shoes I thought that would be perfect with these jeans don't work, but I could buy these shoes and then these jeans would be perfect. You know, it's like, is this going to start sort of an avalanche effect and you're going to have to buy a bunch of things? Or even just like, oh, this is a great top, but I don't really have the perfect bra to wear with it. You know, I think it's just like, what else will I have to buy in order to make this work? Or will it work seamlessly in my wardrobe? So that is a huge one.
Got it.
And number six, does this suit my style or do I really just like the way it looks on somebody else or the way it looks on the model? Or do I like the idea of it? And that's where the three words come in, because you can be like, does this sort of jive with the three words that I've chosen for myself? Or is this just something that I think is like beautiful, or I really love the way that the model looks, or I really love her hair in this photo, and as a result, I think I need this entire outfit. You know, that's a good thing to check in with yourself. And then number seven is, can I see myself wearing this next year? And next year is not that far away. So like, hopefully the answer is yes, but sometimes I'll check myself. I'll be like, no, I want this now. And I don't think I'll want it for like that much longer than right now. So those are the seven questions. And I do find that it's really helpful, if anything, just to make you pause, just to make you like take a second before, like you said, like typing in that credit card number.
That is really good. There are some questions on here that I had not considered in my own lesser method. So I'm going to have to refresh my policy here. Okay. So one of the things that I like about your approach is that it does feel more timeless and it does feel not necessarily as trend focused. But fashion people love trends. How do you think about implementing trend into your wardrobe or into your client's wardrobe? Because there are those moments where you're like, ooh, like everyone has a red dress for fall. Like I need a red dress for fall, or red, whatever. But I only wear black.
Yes.
So how do you think about that?
That's a really great question. And as somebody who is obsessed with clothes and obsessed with fashion, I obviously love trends and it does excite me to see new things. So I think that once you have an understanding of your style and who you are and what you like and what those three words are, I think it becomes a lot easier to take these trends but make them your own. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think a lot of times we'll see something and we're like, okay, this is the must-have item. I have to have it. You'll get it, you'll put it on. And then it's kind of a bummer because you're like, oh, it doesn't feel like me, or it doesn't look the same way that it looked on the model. But I think that when you have an understanding of your style, you're able to make better decisions. And again, incorporate those trends in a way that feels like you. For example, let's say you love that no pants trend. Okay. And I feel like that is a trend that I'm like, I would love to try this. I don't think I'm bold enough, but I do love the idea of like these sheer tights with like a little sling back and like a bunch of layers on top. How can I incorporate that and make that something that feels comfortable and wearable to me? Maybe it's like adding a pair of black shorts or leather shorts over. Maybe it's about doing a mini skirt. Maybe it's about doing like a slim pair of pants and then having the sheer tights underneath and doing an open toe shoe. So you get like the sheer look, but you're wearing pants. So for me, it's about like taking these trends and really thinking about it. Like, how can I make this work for me? How will I make it feel wearable and genuine and not just like I'm taking the trend off the runway and throwing it on my body?
I love that. And it's true. It's like if you're just doing like straight from the runway and it's a carbon copy, that's just a trend. That's not actually style necessarily.
And exactly.
The style piece of it is like, how do you interpret it?
Exactly. What I also really love is I feel like during Fashion Week, I obviously love to look at the runway shows, but I love to look at the street style and I love to see the way that the fashion editors and all the people at the shows have kind of appropriated the trends from the year before into their own style. And I always just think it's so fun to see how people are actually styling things in a way that feels genuine and feels like them. I just feel like that's always really, really fun. And you can tell when somebody is dressed in a way that feels comfortable, but is still incorporating the trends.
Yes, you can. Okay, so my last question is, what are you really excited about when it comes to spring and summer style?
I have been absolutely obsessed with Daisy Jones and the Six. I loved your episode with Denise Wingate. I thought that was incredible.
She's really great.
I loved it. I think my style has always leaned a little bit 70s, but after watching that show, I've just have become obsessed with 70s and vintage and cowboy boots and vintage kimonos, like all of these very 70s pieces. And I don't think that that's necessarily like a huge trend, but I'm very excited to incorporate some of those Daisy Jones elements into my spring and summer look. I think that's really fun. It's always fun to also see how like a TV show or a movie will really inspire a trend or a look.
I mean, Mad Men back in the day, Bridgerton yes. more currently, like mm-hmm. it for sure influences, and there's a lot of power to it. And plus, I mean, I just love the fact that my TikTok is like all Stevie Nicks now. So yes. I'm just like,
oh, mine yes, too. Yes.
Bring me that, please.
Yes.
Well, Allison, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank
the
you.
Entire Who What Wear team is such a fan of yours, and we think you are fabulous. So this was such a pleasure.
Thank you so much for everything.
A huge thank you to stylist and wardrobe specialist Allison Bornstein. Make sure to subscribe to our show wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, I'd also be so grateful if you would rate and review us. If you have any guest suggestions or any other feedback, drop us a line at podcast@whowhatwear.com, or you can find us on social @whowhatwear. See you next Wednesday on Who What Wear with Hillary Kerr. This episode was produced by Hillary Kerr and Olivia Capoletti. Editing is by Natalie Thurman. Our audio engineers are at Treehouse Recording in Los Angeles, California, and our music is by Jonathan Leahy. Independent since 1906, New Balance empowers people through sport and craftsmanship to create positive change in communities around the world. Whether in the road racing communities or streetwear culture, having the iconic N on your body says something about your affiliations, your fandom, and the company you keep. Maybe you're ready to step on the track to race 1,500 meters, or maybe you're running out to the store. Wherever it may be, New Balance believes if you run, you're a runner. Find your perfect shoe, like the Fresh Foam 1080 V12, at newbalance.com, and run your way.